Mikey here with another episode of the Charleston Digital Corridor Tech Live Podcast, coming to you from the studio inside the Charleston Digital Corridor's flagship incubator on Morrison Drive. In our last episode, we featured Paul Turner of Virtual America talking about his plans to create a digital twin of the city of Charleston and his partnership with In Situ in the augmented reality space. In this episode, we're fortunate to talk with the COO of Charleston-based fintech startup Spendly to learn more about their solutions and how they're helping small companies. This episode is brought to you by the Charleston County Economic Development Department. They're dedicated to recruiting new business, growing existing industry, and improving Charleston's business climate. Visit them to learn more at charlestoncountydevelopment.org. This episode is also sponsored by the i5K. The i5K race is a favorite weekday evening run and networking event for Charleston's tech professionals. This year's event is scheduled for April 18th at 6:30 p.m. here at the Charleston Tech Center. Learn more and get your ticket at i5k.com. Our guest on this episode of the Charleston Digital Corridor Tech Life Podcast is Shannon Koch. Shannon is COO and co-founder of Spendly. Well, welcome.
Thanks, Rich. Great to be here.
Let's get started by giving maybe an overview to listeners of Spendly, what your mission is, the problem your solution solves, who your customers are, and maybe some of the other key members of the team.
Sure. So I would say our mission, high level, is helping businesses spend smarter. Mm-hmm. And what that means for us, it's spend their time better. Mm-hmm. You know, business owners, exec teams, they're busy yep. people, and spend their money better. Mm-hmm. As in the business money, you know, where those resources go to just spend, you know, a little smarter and think about mm-hmm. every purchase you make. So for us at Spendly, we look at essential business services. So mm-hmm. think payroll, merchant services, commercial insurance, benefits, retirement plans. So we really call those typical G&A expenses yeah. that most businesses have, and realize a lot of businesses have no convenient way to compare and reach out providers online. So the current landscape, you might see this on a consumer side, is you Google for better yeah. options. Yeah. You reach out to these providers independently, you know, to get multiple quotes, or you fill out a form and you're going to get bombarded for the rest of your life. We've all been in that situation. So with Spendly, we found a lot of people unknowingly end up overpaying on mm-hmm. these services over time. And for the reasons of it's hard to reshop, they kind of set it and forget it, and they outgrow a provider, which is, you know, very typical. As your business grows, the needs change. Mm-hmm. And over time, more providers are popping up. Competition can bring down prices for everybody. So really with Spendly, we're a free platform that totally streamlines the entire quote process. So as a business, you come to us, you tell us your current spend on that service. Mm-hmm. And we see if providers in our network, they're all great, they're all awesome to work mm-hmm. with, can offer the same service for less. So our providers blindly compete against each other to earn your new business. Mm-hmm. And that really allows the business to get the best custom quote and meet them where they currently are. Through that process, they're able to save 20 to 40% just by switching providers. So it's been awesome. We've been at it about a year, I would say. And that 20 to 40% has grown, I would say, over time. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of a great baseline of what a business can expect to reshop, save. Because providers, in the end of the day, they're fighting for your business. Yeah. And this just allows you to find those options a lot better.
Yeah, it's great having a marketplace for those services, which mm-hmm. can be big decisions, you know, yep. particularly for a small company and with a founder or even a, you know, new COO. Not, you know, those are the things you're not necessarily focusing on day to day, and it can be exactly. a big distraction.
Yeah, so we're really seeing our customer, it's two-sided. Yeah. As a marketplace, you know, supply, demand. Mm-hmm. For us, it's providers and SMBs. I would say the last year we've really focused on getting awesome providers. Mm-hmm. You know, marketplace is only as good as the seller. We want you to be able to upgrade your provider experience, mm-hmm. service, and never downgrade for a lower cost, which we're seeing, you know, yeah. that's tend to always stay true, which is awesome. And then the other side, of course, is how do we get more businesses mm-hmm. to learn about Spendly, come to us, trust us to reshop their services on the platform. So really, I'd say we're in that spot now. The provider network's super strong, mm-hmm. and now we need to get our name out there to get more businesses. For us, it's about 10 plus employees is a great spot because mm-hmm. they use one or more services, and their spend, you know, can actually really be affected 20 to 40% less, can end up being, I would say, $5,000 to $10,000 a year, wow. which makes a big difference.
Yeah, it really does. Well, who are some of the other key members of the team?
So I am one of three co-founders, mm-hmm. which I'm very fortunate to mm-hmm. do this with them. We kind of cover a couple bases. My background's design. Mm-hmm. I love UI, UX design and kind of morphed into the operations side. Mm-hmm. One of our co-founders in that CEO role has been amazing at building the foundations with the providers mm-hmm. to get that whole side of the business built out. And our other co-founder is technical, which has been, you know, amazing in helping yeah. us actually build the product to get it where it is today. And we have another developer on the team and in the office here, our first, you know, sales hire to help us reach more businesses.
That's great. That's exciting when you start to scale like that and bring on new people.
It is. Yeah. Especially him being local. Yeah. I've been working remote. You know, we've all been actually working yeah. remote the last 2.5 years with Spendly. So being able to get an office, be in the building, mm-hmm. share ideas, be collaborative. There's such a power in yeah. just being in the room.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, the mix of the three co-founders, mm-hmm. you know, you've got the design strength, technical strength, and then like you said, having that, you know, right person as CEO to get the gears of the business mm-hmm. moving. That's a nice mix.
Yeah. So we've been able to cover a lot of ground and now we kind of see where the gaps are yeah. and start filling those core team members. As a startup, you're always as good as your people.
Yeah.
We got to get, you know, the right core team just to keep building and reach the goals we want to reach in the next couple of years.
Well, where did the idea behind Spendly come from?
One of my co-founders was, he worked in payment processing mm-hmm. and he saw the variability. You know, it can go from as low as 1%, 4%, 5%. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's all over the place. At the end of the day, businesses really didn't know what they were paying.
Yeah.
Fees rack up every year. Yeah. So he saw that in the payment processing side. It's also any service that is kind of a negotiable yeah. service. There's room for wiggle yeah. on price.
Yeah.
After diving deeper into these other G&A expenses, if it's a negotiable rate, we want people to be able to spend it. We lead with price. So you're talking to this provider because you know you're getting a great price.
Yeah.
And then you start the conversation. And everything right now is the reverse, where I need to talk to all these providers just to get a quote to then understand, do I want to right. move forward? So we lead with price because that seems to be the easiest way to get in the door. Is it even worth my time talking to this provider? Is price aligned? And that's an easy way to start a really warm conversation.
What's the journey been like in bringing Spendly to market? You know, you talk about the classic marketplace mm-hmm. problem. You need to have the providers, but if you're going to get the providers, you need to have the customers and vice versa. What's that experience been like over the past year plus?
It's been really fun. Yeah. It's always a journey.
Yeah.
As you said, yeah, being a double-sided, where do you start?
Mm-hmm.
For us, it definitely became, you know, we have to start with the providers.
Yeah.
And I would say to our benefit, the more providers that, you know, have been well-known names, I would say like ADP was the first, you know, great name, mm-hmm. well-known provider to come on. We've had Chase, Paychex, Clover, AcroShirt, you know, as we started to get mm-hmm. those providers, that immediately gave us a little bit more credibility
right.
rather than just, you know, being a startup trying to figure it out mm-hmm. that those, you know, well-known companies, industry leaders have kind of given us their stamp of approval. Yeah. We can leverage that connection yeah. as we market, which has been great. So the providers was one side of the battle. Mm-hmm. And now we're really focusing on how do we get more businesses. And I would say, you know, businesses so far, we've had about 50 come through the platform, have been all across the board of employee size, mm-hmm. revenue, location, industry. So now it's figuring out who is our ideal customer.
Yeah.
How do we market to them? Because, of course, you know, if you market to everyone, you market to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we just hone that message more? So that was, I would say, the last 6 months, that has been not the issue or the problem, but what we're trying to really hone in to figure out to rev up the sales side and get in front of more customers.
Must have been really exciting when you landed that first big provider because that, like I said, that gets the flywheel moving because now you can, you know, create sense of competition. You're helping somebody else make money, so then other folks want in. And, you know, you talk about how it changes the buying dynamics and it changes the selling dynamics too for those companies, right? You know, the money they're not spending, you know, so much on the sales force to be out there drumming up business that they can rely on your marketplace allows them to be more negotiable, and it creates one of those nice flywheels or virtuous cycles.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, I don't even think I mentioned this, but we're totally free for businesses to use. Yeah. We're monetized all on the provider side. Mm-hmm. They have the deep pockets. Yep. You know, they have the budget, the spend to find ways to meet new customers. Mm-hmm. So we're really lowering their customer acquisition cost by a lot. And there's value in that. Yeah. And they'll pay us for that. So we can monetize on that side. And let's leave this free for the businesses who need help to get new quotes. We don't take any of the savings, which, you know, some other companies kind of do that model. We want to be here for the businesses, free, easy to use. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that we can make on the provider side.
Tell us a little bit more about your background. You mentioned the background in UI, UX, but, you know, what was the experience like getting to like, hey, you know, I'm going to be a co-founder in a startup tech venture from, you know, sort of your background in UI, UX?
I would say first kind of, you know, dip your feet in entrepreneurship was I went to college Charleston. Throughout that year, had two app ideas. We got a team together and kind of went down the path of figuring that out. Everyone thinks an app's easy, you know. You're young and you're like, oh, there's an app for this. There should be, because there's not. I always did graphic design on the side because I've always just loved graphic design. But doing those apps got me involved in the UI UX side, the design and thought behind a process. And I really liked that because it was tangible. It was different. Every product's different. It was really creative, you know, to figure out what a product should look like, how it should feel in someone's hand. I liked that side of it. So after college, ended up working with a custom software development firm here in town, got really good at building other people's products. You know, entrepreneurs would, would come in, have ideas, or they have a product they want to iterate on. We would design the whole thing. And after 25 of those, I got a good feel for what that should be. And I knew eventually I'd do it for my own product. I feel like when you're always looking and you have opportunity, I was thinking, I'm looking for something. And Spendly, I met my co-founder, and that's how Spendly was born.
That's a great story. You know, you talk about it's great being in a position where you have valuable skills that you can put to use, like you said, for somebody else. But then that's a great situation to get into one of these, you know, for somebody with entrepreneurial aspirations, get into these, one of these companies that sort of does that work on a contract basis. Because like you said, you can, you know, after 25 or so of them, like you see sort of what the patterns are and what makes or breaks your different projects from being successful, different ventures from being successful. And then you can sort of bring that to bear on your own. So I don't know how intentional it seemed to you at the time, but it feels really thoughtful and intentional how you went about it.
Yeah, I would say I remember maybe I was there almost 3 years, probably halfway through, like you said, patterns. Nothing's ever starting from ground zero. There's kind of like very strong baselines and patterns every product has. And then for me, it was always looking at Spendly or any product I wanted to be involved in. Is it solving a big enough problem? Can it actually make money? You know, you'll be surprised how many great ideas just don't. I want to make money and then not have to worry about just bringing on users and raising. Let's make some money from the start. And does it do some good? And Spendly really checked all those boxes, which I don't know if I would have looked for those boxes before getting all that real life experience.
Well, and you talked about sort of working remotely and then finding a space here at the Charleston Tech Center. What's that like? You know, what's that experience you think sort of added to your ability to, you know, contribute to what you're doing at Spendly? And, you know, what are some of the other ways maybe you're plugging into the Charleston tech community?
I would say being remote the last 2 years. Perfect example. We've been here about a week and I'm on your podcast today, getting Spendly out here. You know, that wouldn't happen being remote at home. It's great to be around smart people doing cool things and just being in that environment. It always pushes you to be better. It's hard to push yourself after a while of being home. It's easy to get in your own head. Even being in the office with our sales guy, Andrew, you know, I can hear him talk on the phone. I can hear him talk about Spendly when objections come up. It's very collaborative. Let's talk about those. Versus remote, you don't get that. You got to be in the room. You got to show up. This office has been that for us.
What are some ways that you think maybe, you know, as a community, we can grow and evolve? You know, certainly you're somebody who's grown up in this community and started and built a career right from the ground level here. What are some things that could, you know, help you have a more fulfilling experience as an entrepreneur, you know, based here in Charleston?
I've been here 10 years, and 10 years ago, it was possible, but I feel like Charleston did not have this hungry level of entrepreneurs starting their businesses for the first time. And I don't know if the talent was necessarily here, because I don't think the opportunity was here. Yeah. Even graduating college, most of my friends left because it was really hospitality and a little bit in between. Yeah. But this being here, I think you can get the talent, you can get the right people. And for me, it became a place I could see building my business. I didn't have to go somewhere to build that. And maybe, you know, 10 years ago, you would have think, oh, I have to go to San Francisco or New York, another big city that just has that startup environment. But it being created here, it becomes a place that you can see yourself growing an awesome business for the next 10 years. And it's a place you actually want to live and grow your family and be here long term.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good insight. I think these things sort of come in waves. You know, you had sort of the early tech linchpins here in Charleston, Blackbaud, Benefit Focus, ATD. Then you saw sort of that next wave in the early, you know, 2000, 2005 with Spark, Boomtown, other. And I think you're right. Each sort of wave, it hits another level of scale. And I think what you've talked about in the, you know, past 10 years is we've certainly reached that next level scale. And it's, you know, be interesting to see as those companies grow, what that brings to the community here.
And, you know, like COVID, I feel like amplified that.
Yeah.
The work remote. But now I think people want to be more in person and be where you want to actually live. And this is a great place to live to attract that talent.
What are some of the maybe key milestones you think you guys have hit so far with Spendly, or any experiences where, you know, it really for you highlighted the vision of what you're trying to do here with Spendly?
The first one I would say on the provider side I spoke about when we got our first provider. I mean, that was just a cool moment. Yeah. The value prop is there. And I would say on the other side, the first business that went through during our beta almost a year and a half ago, but went through, uploaded, did everything, worked, they saved money, they switched providers, and we got paid.
Yeah.
You know, that was a cool moment to say, okay, this actually works. It's not just us thinking this works. Yeah. This works. Yes, it can get better. Yes, there will be tweaks. The product will always improve, but it actually worked. That was a really cool moment.
What are some of the biggest challenges you guys are facing now, or maybe some of the opportunities you're really excited about going forward?
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenge we're facing is figuring out who our perfect customer is so that we can just market Spendly, whether it's going niche. We haven't really seen patterns in who our SMB clients are yet to say, okay, let's go all out on dental practices, for example, because they can use all these services, they can save a lot of money, and they're really in tune to a product like Spendly. Yep. We haven't seen those patterns yet. So now we're kind of in the process of figuring out who that perfect customer is to market to them. And I think we're close.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're 80% there. It's just kind of the last 20% of the right messaging and getting our name out there, you know, because we are a new company that you have to build trust.
Yeah. Now, you and the other co-founders, you talk about this, like what success really looks and feels like for you, say, 3 or 5 years down the road.
In 3 to 5 years, a good goal we have would be that go-to company and brand that if a business is thinking about reshopping any providers, learning about providers, we're that go-to resource. Everyone wants to be a verb, so do we, of saying just Spendly it. You know, you shouldn't Google it. You shouldn't go crazy trying to do applications. We make the process easy. And if you need a quote, you come to Spendly. And eventually, honestly, going just we're on the B2B side now, but B2C side, that if it's a negotiable rate, Spendly should exist to be a part of that, to actually get you real custom offers. Right now, on that side, there's not a lot of options. So bridging to that side eventually, I think, would be the long-term goal.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of obviously hard work and long days and nights, you know, to get to that point. But I really love the idea of, you know, people thinking about their vision down the road in those marketing terms, right? Because, you know, you can sort of get a clear image in your head of sort of what it is you want to achieve and then start to work back from there to all the myriad of, you know, technical and marketing and, you know, customer success, all of the details, all the logistics, work back from there. But like having that aspirational vision is really exciting.
And I'm a product person through and through. So I think I also have a curse of I feel like in my head, I see kind of where I want the product to look like, but you got to start MVP and work your way up. You can't just start the grand product, but I feel like being in the product side, I always have the vision of where we want to take it, but you got to get there incrementally and you don't want to overdevelop and design, and you might pivot over time. but that vision of a product is always kind of my North Star. There's going to be a lot of steps to get there, mm-hmm. but we have an idea of where we want to take it.
Well, how can local listeners learn more about Spendly and connect with you?
You can go to our website. It's getspendly.com. And I invite you to, you know, schedule a call with us. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be me or one of the other founders. Or you can get started, sign up. And we're still really hands-on. So even if you sign up and go through the process on your own, we'll probably reach out to you to get feedback and make sure if there's anything we can assist you with, we can help you.
Shannon Cox, COO and co-founder of Spendly. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Spendly made another big splash recently by adding Chubb, the world's largest property and casualty insurer, to their network of providers. Congratulations to Shannon and the Spendly team, and I'm looking forward to following their growth. I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, the Charleston County Economic Development Department. They're dedicated to recruiting new business, growing existing industry, and improving Charleston's business climate. Visit them to learn more at charlestoncountydevelopment.org. Next month, we'll be talking with the new CEO of a Charleston-based startup that has built a platform to help drive innovation for nonprofit organizations. Before we go, I also want to remind everyone about the I-5K. The I-5K race is a favorite weekday evening run and networking event for Charleston's tech professionals. This year's event is scheduled for April 18th at 6:30 p.m. here at the Charleston Tech Center. Learn more and get your ticket at i5k.com. As always, thanks to Ernest and the team at the Charleston Digital Corridor for their partnership and support in bringing you the show. Look for us wherever you find your favorite podcasts, and while you're there, leave us a rating or review and subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, follow the Charleston Digital Corridor to stay up to date on all of the happenings here in Charleston. Thanks for listening. I'm Rich Conte, and this has been the CDC Tech Life Podcast.